Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, Dr. John here, live from Pearl River, Louisiana. And we're going to go over Acts 23. Very interesting, but typical, as of today. The corruption in high places, you know, and this is something, it reminds me of Ephesians. Chapter 6. Let's see where it is. Right. Ephesians chapter 6. Finally, my brethren, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of the might of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And this is what we see here in this chapter. We see this is what we wrestle against, spiritual wickedness in high places. So let's go back to... start this chapter at Acts 23:1. Al and Paul, earnestly beholding the council, said, "Men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God until this day." So he had their attention, and they had his. Because he was arrested because the Roman government was protecting him from the Jewish religious leaders and some strong arms, some thugs. Verse 2, you see it right here. And the high priest Ananias commanded them that stood by him to smite him on the mouth. Now, that's a religious dictator. That's something that you can see the Pope doing, or maybe a powerful preacher doing. That's how you win somebody over. Okay. And we see Paul's reaction to this. Then Paul said unto him, "God shall smite thee, thou whited wall, for sittest thou to judge me after the law, and commandest me to be smitten contrary to the law?" I mean, he's a high priest. He's the one that's supposed to be the one that's given all the words of God and obeying the law of God and teaching the law of God. And he's the one that is here demanding that the law of God be broken. And Paul says, "Hey, you're a whited wall. I wish you weren't the high priest, because you smite me against the law. You should be supposed to be a teacher of the law and obey the law." How true that is today in spiritual leadership in high places. It's wicked. Okay. Verse 4, "And they that stood by said, Revilest thou God's high priest? Then said Paul, I wish not, brethren, that he was a high priest. For it is written, Thou shalt not speak evil of the ruler of thy people." You know, that's said about even secular government rulers. The Bible says don't speak evil of them. But it's hard not to. When you got a leader, a president of the United States at this time, Joe Biden, who promotes abortion, he promotes murder, he promotes breaking of the law and not enforcing the law of this great country, the United States of America, and is still great in spite of its leaders. I wish he wasn't the president of the United States. It is. Verse 6. "But Paul perceived that the one part were Sadducees and the other Pharisees, He cried out in the council, "Men and brethren, I am a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee. Of the hope and resurrection of the dead, I am called in question." And when he had said that, so said, then arose a dissension between the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and the multitude was divided. For the Sadducees say there is no resurrection, neither angel nor spirit. But the Pharisees confess both. Now, I don't understand what in the world the Sadducees, what kind of Bible they read, what kind of Old Testament they were reading. Because it speaks about resurrection, and it speaks about angels and about spiritual things all through it. It must be like one of those Bibles that Thomas Jefferson wrote. He wrote a New Testament leaving out all the miracles that Jesus did. And, of course, Jesus' resurrection. What a guy. Verse 9, "And there arose a great cry, and the scribes that were of the Pharisees part arose and strove, saying, We find no evil in this man." Well, he's got some of the religious group with him. "But if a spirit or an angel has spoken to him, let us not fight against God." The Pharisees were right on that. Verse 10, "And when there arose a great dissension, the chief captain, fearing lest Paul should have been pulled in pieces of them, commanded the soldiers to go down and to take him by force from among them and to bring him into the castle. In the night following, the Lord stood by him and said, Be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also in Rome." So the assurance that the Lord, I'm sure you're scared. Who wouldn't be? He was concerned about, I don't think he was concerned about his life, but he was concerned about his being able to fulfill the call that God had put on his life to preach in Rome. And so God came to him and encouraged him and confirmed to him that his call he will fulfill. Verse 12, "And when it was day, certain of the Jews banded together and bound themselves under a curse, saying that they would neither eat nor drink till they had killed Paul." These are the Jews. They read the, you know, they read the Ten Commandments. They read the Bible. It's taught to them and preached to them. And you got, I don't know, read a little bit further. Verse 15, "Now therefore ye with the council signified to the chief captain that he bring him down unto you tomorrow, as though ye would inquire something more perfectly of him." Verse 13, "And they were more than 40 which had made this conspiracy. And they came to the chief priest and elders," religious leaders of the Jewish religion. You know, Jewish religion has 10 commandments. It's got a lot of stuff about loving thy neighbor as thyself. "We have bound ourselves." They came to the chief priests and elders and said, "We have bound ourselves under a great curse that we will eat nothing until we have slain Paul. Now therefore ye with the council signify to the chief captain that he bring him down unto you tomorrow, as though ye would inquire something more perfectly concerning him. And we or ever he come near, are ready to kill him." And Paul's sister's son heard of their lying in wait. He went and entered into the castle and told Paul. Then Paul called one of the centurions unto him and said, "Bring this young man unto the chief captain, for he hath a certain thing to tell him." So he took him and brought him to the chief captain and said, "Paul the prisoner called me unto him and prayed me to bring this young man unto thee, who hath something to say unto thee." Then the chief captain took him by the hand and went with him aside privately and asked him, what is it that thou hast to do, tell me? And he said, the Jews have agreed to desire thee that thou wouldest bring down Paul tomorrow into council, as though they would inquire somewhat of him more perfectly. But do not thou yield unto them, for there lie in wait for him of them more than 40 men, which have bound themselves with an oath that they will neither eat nor drink till they have killed him. And now are they ready, looking for a promise from thee. So the chief captain then let the young man depart and charged him, see thou tell no man that thou hast showed thee these things to me. Verse 23, and he called unto him two centurions, saying, make ready 200 soldiers to go to Caesarea, and horsemen 70, that's 70 horsemen, 200 soldiers, and spearmen 200, and at third hour of the night. So you got 470 men. Excuse me. You got 200 soldiers. You've got 70 horses, 200 spearmen in the middle of the night protecting Paul to get him out of town against these thugs, these criminals, these quote-unquote leaders of the Jewish religion and of the Jews. The hatred, the venom, reminds me, if you disagree with anybody today, they'll plot to kill you. Okay. It's nothing new. It's the same thing. Man's nature has not changed. Man cannot get along with God, nor with his fellow man. Here's the carriers of the Word of God, the ones that have the responsibility to spread the Word, to live the Word, and to evangelize the world. And God chose these people to do this. And you see what they're doing. They're afraid to lose their power and their authority. They're not afraid of what Paul's saying. Or maybe they are. He's saying the truth and they don't want it. Verse 24, and provide them beasts that they may set Paul on and bring him safe unto Felix the governor. So he wasn't walking this time. He's riding a horse or some beast. Could have been a camel. I don't know. And he wrote a letter after this manner. Claudius Lysias unto most excellent governor Felix sendeth greetings. This man was taken of the Jews and should have been killed of them. Then came I with an army and rescued him, having understood that he is a Roman. And when I would have known the cause wherefore they accused him, I brought him forth unto their council, whom I perceived to be accused of questions of the law, but to have nothing laid to his charge worthy of death or of bonds. And when it was told me that the Jews laid wait for the man, I sent straightway to thee and gave commandment to his accusers also to say before thee what they had against him. Farewell. Then the soldiers, as it was commanded them, took Paul and brought him by night to Antipatris. On the morrow they left the horsemen to go with him and return to the castle, who, when they came to Caesarea and delivered the epistle to the governor, presented Paul also before him. And when the governor had read the letter, he asked of what province he was. And when he understood that he was of Cilicia, I will hear thee, said he, when thine accusers are also come. And he commanded him to be kept in Herod's judgment hall. Well, tomorrow we'll see what Paul's got to say about it. WSM217@gmail.com. God bless you.